Welcome to the Choose Happy Podcast. I'm your host, Nazi Javid. It is October 25th, 2022. Say hello to my husband, who is how old today?
50 years old today.
The big 5-0. Happy birthday, Mr. Wilson. Introduce yourself to those who don't know you.
Well, I'm luckily married to you, so that's the best part of my 50 years right there.
If you don't know us, I'm Nazi Javid. I'm a news anchor, and my husband is Eddie Wilson. He's a police sergeant, and we are celebrating his birthday today. And I said, hey, honey, you know what? We should hop on the, because I have been so slacking on doing my podcast lately. I said, we should hop on and you can share some life lessons you've learned in your 50 years. So stick around for that if you're curious and you want to know what some of his advice is and what he would have told maybe his 25-year-old self. Stay here. That's coming right up. And welcome back. Thank you for being here for the Choose Happy Podcast. Hi, Wilson. You're 50 Hi. Years old. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Do you feel different today?
Not really. I thought I'd feel a little more different than I do, but I don't. I look in the mirror and I feel a little older when I look in the mirror. But
you do not look 50. In fact, we just celebrated his birthday in Hollywood. We spent a week or so.
That was fun. Good time.
Yeah, and he didn't know where we were going. I randomly booked tickets. I booked a hotel. I booked some stuff to do. And I just said, get on a plane. We're going. And he had no idea. And it was so great because everyone at the airport cooperated with me. Like all of the people at the airlines, nobody told them where we were going. They said they would check us in and they're like, okay, where are you headed? And I was like, he doesn't know. And they're like, okay, we won't say anything. There were no electronic signs up. So that was good.
No. Normally we'd have the boarding passes printed out ahead of time. If we didn't,
I had them sent to my email
so that I couldn't see where we were going, because initially that would obviously given it away. That didn't happen. So
it was just the excitement of not knowing.
It was. Because she knows how much I love to fly, so that was the
part. I had to warn him about the flight because he's not a big. Why is that? You don't like
the anxiety. I don't know what it is. I feel like when I was in my 20s, I was okay with flying. But I hit 40 and the anxiety, I'm not quite sure. So from 40 on, the anxiety of flying seemed to hit me harder. I still do it. And it's like, not that I don't ever want to fly again, but sometimes I'll pick the other option. If I can drive somewhere as opposed to fly, I'll do that. But in this case, for us to have a full weekend in LA, we had to fly and it was easy. And it's an hour flight down as opposed to, you know, eight hours probably from Reading, 8 or 10 hours from Reading. But
yeah, you know, I think part of that, like, I get that. I have that type of anxiety when I'm driving on the highway. And mine comes from, you know, a highway crash that I was in. I think yours probably comes from just what your normal, you're always on heightened alert because you're a cop. And so it's like how you can't have your back at a restaurant when we go, you know, facing a certain way. And how if we're in a crowd of people, your eyes are scanning and I'm like trying to help you be present because you're always a cop, you know, and I think that when you're on an airplane, you don't have a lot of options to get out safely if there's a situation. So I think that's probably part of it, just knowing you the way that I do. You always like to have an escape plan.
Yeah. And I think obviously on an airplane, you're very limited as far as what you can do.
Jumping out the window.
If you're jumping out, everybody else is jumping out too. And it's usually because something's happened. So I know, and air travel is very safe. I mean, there are obviously nothing's perfect, not in the car, not in a plane, but it's
definitely not in a car.
Yeah. And, but it's still, you know, it's something that I just don't comfortably do. Usually once we get in flight, I'm better. The second flight yesterday, I was a little bit more nerve wracking, only because the pilot had to make more maneuvers to get out of Burbank to head north. So that was probably a little bit more.
It was the first time that I've flown all over the world, as you know. And that was the first time I've ever had a female pilot.
That was cool.
Isn't that amazing?
She was very good. And she had a great landing, much better than the previous landings we had back into Reading. Yes. It was very good.
She was a woman, person of color. I just thought that was so cool and wanted to give her a high five. She did a great job.
She's great
landing. So, you know, we were in LA for the weekend and we were going to go to this haunted, as you know, this haunted hayride situation in Los Angeles. And when we get there, security swarms and the park rangers come up and they're all having these talks and they're in a circle and they're like, there's a guy with a gun making threats. And so immediately Ed was like, we're getting out of here. You know, that was his like his response, like, we're not going to risk it. We're going to play it safe. LAPD was on the way. And I think that's part of the flight thing for you, right? Is you're always just looking to
be safe,
which I appreciate.
And it was one of those things that I don't, you know, I have every reason to believe the LAPD, you know, handled things correctly and did that. And hopefully nothing came to be from that. I have no idea. We didn't entirely follow up with that, but
all we heard was that they were unarmed. We don't have guns.
You had unarmed security officers there to manage what appeared to be probably in the thousands of people.
Yeah.
And in light of, you know, recent events, you know, nationwide, I just wasn't willing to take a risk.
A disgruntled employee with a gun making threats.
I mean, making threats of coming to that event and potentially discharging the firearm. So you don't know who it was directed at, what the motivation was. And we didn't get that kind of detail. But unfortunately, like the security staff was speaking pretty closely to where we were standing. So for me, I was listening as I heard that information.
He isn't the cop again. He just wherever we go, you're
so,
always the cop.
You know, I kind of feel like sometimes there's signals and things in life and maybe that's one of those ones you don't want to ignore because you don't know. One, the biggest thing is we don't know the area. You know, I don't know. I've never lived in LA. We didn't have a car with us. We weren't in a position to where we could have a plan to get out of there. So if we were caught there because of something like that, that would have been.
Yeah. And there were so many people and there was thousands of people were like coming in.
It would have
been
very chaotic scene had it something gone wrong there.
Especially given what we saw, like at the Garlic Festival, like near where I'm from and, you know, always on caution. And I'm grateful and glad that nothing major came out of that. But thank you for helping play it safe.
No, I thought, you know, I feel like something was telling me that it was better for us not to chance it, you know?
Yeah. So is that something that you've learned? Like this is what I really want to get to in this podcast is lessons that you've learned that you might be able to impart on me. I mean, you are a good deal older than me. And I'm sure that there are some things that you would like to tell your younger self if you knew them. You know, if you knew then what you know now, what would you have told yourself?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I think that when I first started in law enforcement, I think I had an understanding of what the job was, but I think I would have educated myself a lot more in certain aspects of it. I mean, a lot of it's on the job training. A lot of it you can't, there's no way to prep for some of the things you're going to deal with. But, you know, I always, you know, you have people that I had some people that I worked with that came out of college that had degrees in psychology, degrees in, you know, just certain like thing like that. I always thought, man, you know, I wonder how is that applicable? And then once you get into the job, you're like, oh my God, they, you know, that's very applicable. Anything to deal with human behavior, good and bad, I mean, I think is such a necessary thing. So I think going back to that, you know, from a career standpoint, you know, the more the education, the better, the more exposure to that. But a lot of it comes on the job. You can't plan for no amount of training or in a classroom is going to prepare you for what you deal with at the human level when you're dealing it one-to-one, you know, one-on-one, you know, if you're dealing with somebody with people in crisis, as we do many times, I don't think there's anything that the books can prepare us to an extent, but realistically, until you're dealing with somebody face to face, I think that's the biggest part. And I didn't know that, realize that now. So if I was passing that information back to somebody starting at 25, I'd say spend a lot of time, you know, educating yourself in ways. And we're being, you know, I think the training is better now than it was even, you know, 25 plus years ago when I started. I think we did a lot of training then, but I think that there's more training in de-escalation, more training in our ability to how we, you know, communications, the things that were all touched on, but the blocks were much smaller in my academy back then.
Did you have, you know, I'm always curious because, you know, we have children, we have kids with special needs. And so I wonder if that was something that you were trained on back then. I mean, I know that you train officers now on how to identify maybe somebody with, you know, different abilities than you would expect in the field. And that can be a life-saving skill to have. So were you taught that back
so in the back day? In the 90s, and when I went to the police academy in 1995, it was touched on, but it was very much a generalized sense of, you know, what a developmental disability was. at that time, autism wasn't as well known. There was obviously probably an autism spectrum at that time. I wasn't very familiar with it because at that point I didn't have, you know, the boys weren't.
Right. And in case you don't know us, we have I have two bonus sons who are on the spectrum. And so that's where, you know, this comes from. So go on.
But it was more of a generalized thing. So it touched on it, but it really wasn't an extensive amount of training in that. And again, it's one of those things where you were kind of, you know, you had to deal with on the street and kind of develop that understanding through real life contacts and not necessarily what you're reading in books. But there was some information, but it's certainly not like it is now. I mean, now we have CIT training, which is the crisis intervention training, where there's a week long training and it gives officers and people in the medical field or even people that are clinical specialists, you know, training and dealing with people in crisis. So it's a great, certainly much more intensive than it used to be.
You know, you are, you know, you're coming up on a lot of milestones and life-changing things, right? You're turning 50 years old. You've made it halfway through your life, you know, and you're coming up on retiring from the position that you're in. You know, at the end of December, you are going to be retiring. You are currently a police sergeant with the Eureka Police Department, and you're going to be on to a new chapter, and you're going to be teaching at the academy and changing your daily routine. What are you looking forward to?
I think I'm looking forward to, probably the a little bit more living in peace a little bit. I guess I'm trying to equate that. Obviously, I've never served in the military, never served in combat, stuff like that. But to an extent, you know, somebody in my position after so many years of doing this job and most of it, all of it being in uniform where you're on the street, the line level, you know, that you're the first level of response. I think at some point anybody probably reevaluates whether or not it's time to make that change, you know, and whether or not you're willing to, you know, to continue doing it. And it's not that I certainly don't, I love the profession. I have no regrets for doing it for half my life. But I feel like it's, you know, time to maybe explore some other things.
Yeah. What are you thinking? What other things?
You know, I don't know. I like the teaching aspect, as I will do, you know, at least on a temporary level. And then, you know, obviously doing some retiree work, which is not uncommon for, you know, because we have the experience and that we're on a part-time level, departments can get some extra mileage out of us, so to speak, before,
yeah,
you know.
Sure.
Forward to doing that. And then we'll see what happens after that. If something comes up that I want to make a complete change over and spend the last part of my working life doing, then that'll be fine too, you know.
Very exciting stuff for you. All right. So you're 50 years old today. What would you have told your 25-year-old self personally, not about profession, but on a personal level? Like, what's something that you learned in the last 25 years that you wish you knew when you were 25?
Gosh, that's a tough question, but I mean, it's a good question. I think that you don't realize how much you didn't know at 25 until you get to the age of 50. I think that's probably the biggest thing. You think you know stuff. You think you know plenty at that point, and then you realize you really don't know a lot.
Give me an example. Relationships or.
Yeah. Just how to be a partner. You know, when I was at 23, 25 years old, I didn't understand that part of it. You know, you think you do, but you really don't. I mean, like it's something that you kind of stumble through and you really don't get that part of it. I think early on, I mean, maybe there's some people that are, you know, better than I am that at 25 were like the perfect partner. But at that time in my life, I just didn't understand the partnership that is required in a relationship and as much, you know, I'm not saying I was terrible, but I just, you know, didn't understand, you know, everything that goes along with it. That's makes it work today, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm very lucky that I get this version.
The things that what makes us work so well, I didn't understand until later in my life. And so it took me took me a while to get that. I probably had a little bit of it in me the whole time. But you know, when you're of a younger age, you're still don't put your partner first as much as you should at that time. And I worked a lot, you know, and so that was easy to just get folded in the work because that was, you know,
yeah,
that's all you had at that time. You worked and
And you had three kids at what, 30?
So I was 30 when the boys were born.
Triplets, can you imagine? Like, what would you do with
30 when the, yeah.
Did you sleep? I don't know.
Not very odd. That whole year, first year, I can't imagine. I don't think I slept a whole lot. I see photos.
And Kelly, their mom, is also a first responder. So you guys both had really challenging jobs of service where schedules, I'm sure, were challenging. And but you made it through. You both made it through.
Yeah, made it through.
I'm so grateful for both of you.
Boys. Boys survived us.
Yeah, what would you tell the kids? You know, like they're, you know, they're coming up in their 20s and what do you hope that they know?
Well, for Isaac, I already see that he knows it. And, you know, I just want him to, you know, be kind to people, be good to people.
He's such a good boy.
He's a good boy.
He's such a good boy.
Like, we're very, very lucky that way. He is a good boy.
Caring, thoughtful.
Yeah, you know.
Responsible, kind.
He's like anything else. He hoards dishes in his room at times and things like that.
But he washes them.
He washes them later on. Hoards towels, but, you know. Uses the closet as a place to store things, not necessarily to. But he's a good boy.
He's a great kid. We're very, very lucky.
But yeah, I think that and just, you don't realize, you know, like the relationships with people in general until you start getting old enough to where you start losing people.
Yeah.
Like I've had friends that I worked with that were older that retired, like I'm getting ready to retire, that made it less than 5 years or 3 years, you know, post-retirement. And it's that whole thing. It's like, you never, you know, I think that some people don't quite understand the sacrifices that the law enforcement officers make in the realm of their health.
I mean, like, you even had back surgery.
Yeah, surgery 7 years ago. I've met all my back, and that was all related to work, but never, you know, fortunately enough, I was able to come back from it. I didn't lose my career. Not everyone's able to. I got very lucky, and I think that the thing that helped me out was my size, and I desired to come back. You know, I think that the doctor told me because of my compact body, because I'm short.
That's awesome.
It helped me out as far as just the growth part of it, the healing part of it helped out quite a bit. But having seen friends both younger in their life and in my career that have passed, and it's just I want to tell people, hey, you know, when you have those relationships early on in your life, those, you know, are meaningful things, you know, and take care of those relationships and be good to people, because you never know, like, you don't know if you're going to see them again and how long they'll be.
That's really, really sad. I mean, you tell me these stories, you know, and I always shut you down because I don't want to hear about it because it scares me. It frightens me. But that is something that you hear a lot about in law enforcement, is retiring, finally having, you know, some peace, and then having a health issue or having some sort of crisis.
Yeah.
So let's,
you know,
just knock on wood and leave it, call it a day.
Yeah, I know. You know, it is what it is. It's like the, you know, that it's, you know, it's just a sad, sad part of that. But I would certainly, in with that, you know, with telling somebody to help fight that, is, and then don't be afraid to talk to somebody when you're feeling like you can't deal with.
Shout out, 988.
Deal with the things of the job, you know.
Yeah.
When parts of the job are getting too much, or things that you can't deal with, you know, that people not to be afraid to reach out for that. And I think that we've, as a profession, have come a lot further now, because it's not an accepted thing to force you to say, hey, you know what, you just have to deal with it. It's part of the job. And now we have, you know, we're doing a better job as creating outlets for officers to have confidential,
like,
counseling.
Don't you talk to a therapist every now and then? Like, that's so healthy. And I love
our department
that.
Brings a therapist in, a company that's out of the Bay Area, that's all people that have worked in as first responders in some form.
That's
whether it's
incredible.
Dispatchers to cops to firefighters that have all transitioned out of their careers for one reason or another, either by way of retirements or, you know, choices to leave it, but have you know, become therapists. I mean, you can't, like, it's, you know, it's great to have. It's like, it's such a great tool now where we didn't have that before, you know, when I first
started.
I love
that you're, like, willing and open about that. And that's one thing that is incredible about you. I was, you know, worry, you go through so much, but you're very good at opening up and talking to me when you come home. You don't hold it all in, which I think is super healthy. I think that it's important that I know where you are, you know, mentally and emotionally, and that you don't, you know, hide those serious things that you see. I mean, you see some pretty gruesome, awful things, and you know, I'm glad that I can be there to be a shoulder for you when you need it, because you're a human and you care about people, and that's the down, you know, that's it's difficult to care as much as you do, and then to see what you do and to see how people can be. We don't have a ton of time. We have a 30-minute recording limit on this one. We've got 10 minutes left.
Okay.
But, you know, your birthday is your birthday. We had a great time.
We did. We did.
What was your favorite part of the weekend?
Just spending time with you. I think anytime we get a chance to be away and just to have our time, you know, I think that's the best part. Yeah. We went to great places, had great food, and got to see some sights.
Food. We had Persian food. Yeah, we had authentic Italian food. It was just delicious.
Yeah.
And it was fun. And we went to a comedy show.
We did.
And we were downtown. And, you know, it was a really good time. And I'm looking forward to more of those moments. Because if you don't know us, we call this our sacrificial year. with the profession that I have, you know, being in television, you work in contracts, and obviously you have to work where the TV station is that you are contracted with. And so when I got a position out of town, out of the town that we were in, we have a house in Eureka, and I got a job in Reading, you know, you have to honor the terms of your contract. And so I had to start sooner than he was going to retire from his position. So we have this overlay where he's still in Eureka and I'm in Reading, and we get to see each other on the weekends, or, you know, whenever we can find the time. And it's been difficult. It's difficult. I feel bad leaving you, you know, with so much, you know, the whole household. And then, you know, we have two homes that we're maintaining. And so it can be difficult. And this week, spending time with you, celebrating your 50th birthday, has really been a rejuvenating, both for me and I know for you, just to reconnect, you know, like, and I'm looking so forward to having more of that time with you. When
me too. I think that's one of the biggest things I look forward to, is just the freedom of being able to do something else and having the more availability for you. And then
house husband.
Yeah. Whatever you want.
I always wanted a house husband, you know, like, you know, you guys, and I'll say it till the day I die, hopefully, I have never, not once, turned on a vacuum in this marriage.
She has not.
Or relationship, even before we were, I have not one time vacuumed the floor myself. It's kind of embarrassing to say that, but that's because you're such a good vacuumer. So
I try to take care of that, you know, I try.
You'd be a great house husband, honestly. I mean, you cook great, you clean nicely, and you're such a joy to come home to, you know, and I'm a workaholic, so I think
you are.
It would work out for us, actually.
But I look forward to that. I look forward to just more time with you and living back under the same roof again, and then, you know, just kind of going from there.
Yeah. And, you know, you've been in Humboldt for most of your life, all of your life.
All my life. Yeah.
And you'll be going, you know, to a new area. What are you looking forward to about that?
You know, I think just a change, you know, change is a little scary. I don't know anybody over here besides my wife.
We're in Reading,
California. Handful of people that I worked with in Eureka for the city of Eureka that now work for the city of Reading in the police department. So with the exception of that, like I said, I'm kind of starting over too, but I, you know, feel like it's a good time, you know. And
I got people coming out of the woodwork trying to recruit you. Like, it's, you are
very nice.
You know, a lot of people know you, and they know your work ethic. So I think that whatever's meant to be will be.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
We'll be grateful to be together, and grateful for the community has been so welcoming here in Reading, California.
Great.
So
very good.
You know, but I miss Humboldt too, and I know you're going to miss it too. I know it's bittersweet for you.
It is a little bittersweet, but I think that, like I said, in the end, it, you know, change is good in a lot of ways. And, you know, I have an opportunity for this next part of my life to be someplace else. And so I think that's a
new adventures.
Yeah. I think that's a great thing. And so, and I, you know, and the kids are finally at an age where that's a possibility for me, where it wouldn't have been, you know, a few years ago. And so, I think that's, you know, an added plus, a little bit less worry about them, because I kind of know where they are and what they're doing now and where they're going with their own lives. And so that's certainly an added plus.
God always has a better plan than we ever had, you know, isn't that, it's so true.
Yeah. I feel like that's definitely the case.
When we were on your birthday vacation in the hotel, there was a paid program on, and I was watching, and I got sucked in, and this is how I do. I'm just like spontaneous. So I get sucked into the paid program. I'm like, ooh, he's preaching to me. I like what he's saying. And Joel Osteen, I think is his name. Is it Osteen? Did I pronounce it properly? Anyway, preacher guy, he moved me emotionally. I was like, oh, this is right. I looked him up, found some quotes, found some books. bought my first book on Audible, and I'm about to start it, but it's called Your Greater is Coming. Anyway, I am excited to read the book. All right, so this podcast, we're running out of time, so we got to wrap it up here, but this podcast is called Choose Happy. And I named it that because I feel like life is crazy. Things get thrown our way. We all have tough times, difficulties, challenges, and it is up to us to decide how we respond to that. So obviously we have no choice in what happens to us in our lives, but we have a choice on how we respond to it. And we get to actively choose happy, positivity, right? Our outlook in life, a positive outlook in life, despite what life throws our way. And so at the end of every podcast, I like to ask my guest, in this case, my husband, what are some things that make you happy?
You make me happy.
That's the canned answer. That's the obvious answer. No, but really.
Make that. I don't know.
You have 3 minutes.
3 minutes. Mm-hmm. Just the stability of our relationship makes me happy. You know, I think that, you know, you make me happy. The stability of our relationship, our healthy family, you know, makes me happy. Like, I mean, I try to feel like that, you know, I'm happy about the career and the life that I lived. You know, I think that I've done my time that way, and hopefully did some good in that. So that makes me happy to know that hopefully I'll leave a little bit of a legacy of, you know, that I made some positive impact.
You're a kind human being. You were voted best cop in Humboldt.
That's because I'm married to you. I'm pretty sure I would not have beaten Billy Hansel, Sheriff Billy Hansel, if you were not my wife.
I love Sheriff Hansel. I know.
Sheriff Hansel's a great man.
He's incredible.
Just having, like I said, having time, being healthy, hopefully being able to walk, you know, to leave my profession with my health, that makes me happy. I mean, just, you know.
Yeah. When so many people don't get that opportunity. Yeah. We're definitely grateful for that. I'm grateful and excited for all the adventures that are yet to come. And you know, we're going to have some adventures, Mr. Wilson. Oh, heck yes, we are. I'm so excited. We're going to have so much fun. Your life. Did you ever think your life would be this wild and crazy?
No, I didn't. I'm so glad it didn't turn out the way I was thinking it was going to turn out.
You never know what to
expect. A few years ago, I would have thought that was the end of it. Like, my life was going to be that way for the rest of my life, and that was it. And I was going to be miserable and unhappy. And boy, some things changed in my favor. And
surprise, I have a cake for you. Candles. Okay, ready? We're going to sing. I'm going to sing to you. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. Wilson. Happy birthday to you.
Thanks.
Blow out your candle. Oh, happy birthday. Give me a kiss. All right, everybody. Thank you for being here for this edition of the Choose Happy podcast. I hope you get out there and make it a great day. Why, Wilson? Why can you make it a great day?
Because you have a choice.
Because you have a choice. Get out there and choose happy. Bye.
Thank you.